اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. We thank Allah and we praise Allah. Allah who is the Lord of honor and Allah is the Lord of might. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind to us and continues to be very kind to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been merciful to us and continues to be merciful to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to help us and He continues to send His favors in so many different ways, for which we have to be extremely thankful and grateful to Allah. Whatever we have been given and whatever we have with us, from each and every single thing, they are all from Allah. It is from Allah's treasures, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give, and He promises that He will continue to give. But as soon as someone becomes ungrateful to Him, and as soon as someone stops showing gratitude to Allah, then Allah seizes that and He stops it. As such, as believers, we must continue to show our gratitude to Allah and to thank Allah for all that which He has given to us. For in being grateful to Allah and showing gratitude to Allah and in thanking Allah, it is the secret of all success. Allah Himself says in the Holy Quran, and the words of Allah, they are the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take us for a joke. He does not take us for a ride, as we say in Trinidad. He does not build up your hopes on something and when you do it, He goes back on His words. Inna Allah la yukliful mi'ad. Allah does not ever go back on His word. Allah does not ever break His promise. So whatever He says, it truly comes to pass and it will come to pass. In whatever way and manner it may come to pass, Allahu alam, Allah knows best. Allah says, La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful to me and if you are thankful to me for whatever I have given to you, and if you praise me and you glorify me, you acknowledge that what you have been given from your health and from your ability, it is from me and I have given it to you, then I will give you much more. La azidannakum, I will give you much more. I will increase it for you. Your favors will be increased and it will never stop coming. Your health will continue to remain as good. The wealth that you have been given, it will continue to remain as good. It will not come to an end. It will not diminish. It will not go out of sight. You will not become bankrupt. Allah's promise is true. La in shakartum, that if you are grateful to me and if you are thankful to me, then I shall certainly increase in it. Wa la in kafartum, however, if you are ungrateful and you do not thank me and you do not show your appreciation and you do not show that this is really from me and it is not from your own self, and you do not become grateful, then mine azab and mine punishment is very severe and it will not miss you at all. And the punishment from Allah, it comes in many different ways. It does not come only in the form of a destruction. That if we build our homes and we stop performing salat in our homes, Allah will cause us to see with our own eyes that it is breaking down and falling apart. No. If Allah has given us prosperity and we continue to progress in life and we continue to become prosperous in life, and our business starts to grow high, and we start to become big, our name begins to become big, but at the same time, we are not showing our gratitude to Allah in that which He has given to us, that wealth which He has given to us, we are not sharing it with the poor and the needy, and we are not giving sadaqat, and we are not giving zakat. And with all of these things, our hearts and our mind goes away from Allah, and our hearts and our mind become absorbed in it so much that we forget our duties towards Allah. We forget what we have to do. Then sure, Allah will not bring an azab and a punishment in a manner that in the morning we will go to work to our business and everything will be flat on the ground. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of Lut alayhi salam, Allah revealed in the Quran that He normally destroys man from a way that he does not know. In other words, anytime man prepares for an azab in this way, the azab comes on that way. Whenever man prepares an azab by putting the best construction that the earthquake will not shake it, Allah sends His azab in another manner. The azab comes to people in a manner that they do not perceive. So they cannot prepare for it in this manner. So whenever we are thinking that the structure is good and all the workers are there and everything is going good, that is not really the manner in which the punishment will come from our Lord. He sends it in a different manner. So first and foremost is that we have to continue to show great gratitude to Allah and to become grateful to Allah in all that He has given to us. And one of the greatest ni'mat and one of the greatest favor that Allah has given to us as human beings is that deen and that religion which is known as Islam. That is one of Allah's greatest favor that has come upon man. That Islam which you and I follow, and that Islam that we hold on to, and that Islam which we have embraced fully and in totality, that deen which Allah has given to us is one of Allah's greatest ni'mat and favor to us. However, man sees greatness in other things. But if we want to understand what is great and what is not great, then we look at what Allah says in His holy book. Because Allah has created us, and Allah has created other things. Allah has created this, Allah has created that. And Allah tells us again and again in His holy Quran, and via the teachings of His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what you see greatness in, O man, it is not really great. O man, what you seem to see salvation and success in is not really what salvation and success is in. This is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jahannam is surrounded by amusement and entertainment. Jahannam and the fire of hell is surrounded by the dazzles and the glitters of life. Jahannam and the fire of hell is surrounded by enjoyment and pleasures and leisures and all the joys that you can think about in life. However, Jannat is surrounded with sacrifice and hardship. Jannat and paradise is surrounded by difficulties. Jahannam is surrounded by going through difficult times in this world. Jannat is surrounded by that. What it means that Jahannam is attainable when you do everything that your heart tells you to do. Hell will be attained when you fulfill all the desires of the base self. Hell will be achieved whenever you think whatever you want to eat, you eat. Whatever you want to look at, you look at. Whatever you want to say, you say it. Total freedom, enjoyment and relaxation, that is when hell is attainable and achieved. But if you want to get Jannat, understand very well the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Jannat is not surrounded. Jannat and paradise is not achieved by enjoying every single thing on the face of the earth. No! You will only attain Jannat when you go through sacrifices and hardships. Whenever there is poverty, whenever there is sickness, you must bear patience. Things are not going good. You must continue to worship Allah. You have a deen that is in front of you, when you obey and you follow this deen, then Jannat and paradise is achievable and attainable. Else no. So therefore, what man seems to put value to, it is sometimes and most of the times valueless in Allah's sight. What man seems to see salvation in, that is where his destruction lies. Whenever man sees progress in some way, that is where his decline and downfall lies. But he cannot pick up and he cannot sense it because of the fact that his heart is totally absorbed in something else. So whatever his heart is absorbed in, it runs behind that and it does not have the chance to stop, take a look and see which direction he really is going in on the face of the earth. So one of the greatest favor and one of the greatest ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us is Islam. It is such a deen, it is such a religion, the one we hold on to, the one that we follow. We are here because we are Muslim. We will come for all the call, you know, answer all the calls of prayer because we are Muslim. We will be gathered like this because we are Muslims. We will do what Muslims do. So we have the religion, subhanAllah. Such a beautiful religion, that the religion in the sight of Allah is perfected. It is completed. And it is a religion which has been given His consent and approval. What else can we have? What else can we think about as being greater to us? Muslims are indeed honored. Muslims are fortunate. But na'udhu billah, it is sad to say that sometimes how fortunate we were really on the face of the earth will sometimes only be realized when we close our eyes and we are standing in front of Munkar and Nakir. Sometimes and many times a man does not really know the value of what he has in his hand. He wastes it. He abuses it. He throws it away. And when it is gone and he cannot get it at all, then that is the time he realizes how valuable the thing was worth which he had in his hand once upon a time. It occurs in many different things. With the health we have, when it goes away, we realize how valuable the health was. It occurs with respect to our wealth. We use it how we want, we abuse it, we do this with it, we do that with it, and then Allah says, enough is enough. I did not give it to you so that you will abuse it. I did not give it to you so that you may do it. This is why when Fir'aun had reached the limit of all transgression, Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah saying, oh Allah, this is the reason you had given such power to Fir'aun to be unjust and oppressive to your servants. This is the reason you have made him wealthy, so that he will steal from the innocent. Oh Allah, punish him and destroy him. It does not befit that when a man is given such great favors from Allah, he uses it and utilizes in this manner. And he was punished and the azab of Allah came to him upon the dua of Musa alayhi salam. So therefore, it is not becoming that when a person reaps the favor in one way or the other, that he treats it as if it is nothing. And he treats it as if it is insignificant. And he treats it as if there is no value to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among all the people, the whole mankind to which the deen of Islam has been revealed and sent to, and mankind in its entirety, and in his entirety, they have been ordered to adopt this deen and the final deen. However, as the Quran says, many reject and some accept. And Allah has made you and I fortunate to be the ones who have been given it. Such a deen that in each and every teaching, in each and every action, in each and every order, in each and every prohibition, it has attained the status of perfection. SubhanAllah. There is absolutely not a single teaching that is not perfect. In the same manner, whatever we do, whatever we know we do, and the deen and the Islam we follow, the religion which we follow, we have been assured in the Quran that it is completed in its entire form. It is completed in one way. It is perfected in the other manner. Therefore, there is no need to modify this deen that we have. SubhanAllah. There is no need to change the deen that we have. There is no need to compromise and to adjust in the deen that we have. If Jummah is on the day of Friday, Allah did not give you and I the permission to change Jummah on Sunday because we have a public holiday in our country. If Allah has given us Ramadan as the month of fast, that you may fast and you will fast upon the sighting of the moons of Ramadan and you will end it at the moon of Shawwal, not because you and I love it so much, we will increase Ramadan by 10 other days in Shawwal and we'll say, no, this is compulsory. No. Allah's deen is complete and perfect, and what has been given is what we follow, and what has been declared as not compulsory, it will never become compulsory. This is why also the fuqaha, they have written, for anyone to practice upon a nafil act or a sunnah act in such a manner that they makes it compulsory in the sight of Allah, it is not permissible. You are changing the deen of Allah. When Allah did not make it compulsory, why are you making it compulsory? When Allah has given you the allowance, how is it that you impose and impress upon people to the extent that if they exercise and make amal on the concession by Allah, you make them believe that they are committing a sin? So if a person is on a journey and it is the month of Ramadan and he chooses to practice upon the concession of Allah, why should you impress upon him that he must fast and Allah will not like what he is doing if he negates the fast? If Allah has given him the concession, why are you and who are you to change that law from concession to azimat and performance of the action? No. So there is absolutely no need to modify it, to change it, to alter it, to adjust it. In addition to that, Allah's favor of Islam is so great to mankind that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Quran that He has given us Islam, He actually mentions that by giving us Islam, He has completed His favor upon the whole of mankind. Subhanallah. Not only completed religion, is as He is saying, I have given you Islam, and my gift of Islam to you is a representation that I have now completed my ni'mat and favor upon you on the face of the earth. This is why the ayah says, Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, that I have completed mine favor upon you. This is mine favor, subhanallah. The favor of Allah. And the favor of Allah is the greatest thing that we can achieve. Further than that, we follow a deen that each and every practice that we do, and each and every single thing we do, there is no need for doubts to come in our mind. There is no need for reservations to come in our mind, for questions to come in our mind as to whether this is the correct way, as to whether Allah will like what I am doing, as to whether this has been negated and this is not good. No. The deen we follow is such a deen that Allah is pleased with it. Allah has sanctioned it. Allah has approved it. Allah has given His complete consent for it by saying, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. The deen that you follow is the deen I love. The deen that you follow is the deen I have chosen for you. The deen that you follow, there are no doubts with respect to the actions you do. It has mine pleasure, mine consent, mine approval. Whatever you do, know very well that in the doing of these actions, I am pleased with you. So much to the extent, so much the deen has been approved, so much the deen has been accepted and loved by Allah. It is loved to such an extent that Allah announces in the Holy Quran, Inna deena indallah, the only deen which is recognized and considered and accepted by Allah, it is the deen of Islam, no other deen. Min al adiyan as-sabiqa, min al adiyan as-sabiqa, from the past and former deens, no other. Even to explain that, Allah goes further to say, to recognize how important this deen is, which we follow and sometimes we do not value and we do not appreciate. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whosoever comes to Allah, whosoever searches for another deen besides Allah, whosoever searches for another way besides the deen, it will never ever be accepted from him. So much Allah loves this deen. You come with another way, Allah does not love that. This is why we want, I have to understand. We have to understand how important this deen is to us. How important this deen is to Allah. And what is the significance of the deen we follow in our lives. It is so significant that our deen is our life itself. Our deen is our life itself. We have no deen, we have no life. It is just a matter of living like animals, drinking and eating. But there is nothing more than that. Our deen is our life. Our deen is our living. Our deen is our enjoyment in this life. If there is no deen, if there is no worship to Allah, if there is no acknowledgement of the fact that there is someone who has a part and shares a part in our life, then life is worthless and useless. Then there remains no difference between a human and an animal. Because whatever they do, we will be doing. They eat, we eat. They drink, we drink. They have relationship, we have relationship. They fight, we fight. Everything. The difference is the shu'ur and the understanding Allah has given us to us, that we obey and submit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is such a beautiful deen, such a great deen, that in Islam, the most beautiful teachings have been given to the followers of Islam. There is nothing that is more beautiful than the teachings of Islam. Because it is perfected, you can find no more perfect than the teachings of Islam. You can find no more beautiful teaching than the teachings of Islam. You can find no more complete way than the way of Islam. Whether it is with respect to our ibadat and our rituals, Allah has given us the most perfect and the most beautiful form of worship to stand in salat. The pattern, the position, the movement is the most perfect. The thing which is loved by Allah, to bow ourselves, to go down in ruku, to go down in sajda, towards and in front of the greatest of all, the supreme being, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah the Great One. In other religions, people are accustomed to standing straight in front of the ones they worship. But when they go to the court, they bow in ruku in front of the magistrate and the judge. Allah, their Lord, who they should think that is the greatest, they do not have that in their mind. That the lowest form of worship, in the sense that you are bowing the lowest, should be only to the one that you think as your God. But a man has taken a position higher than your God. Allah says, no, your ruku is lillah, for Allah alone. In other religions, you will stand straight, putting the hands together to worship whom they think is their creator. But when the religious leader or the mother comes, you have to touch the feet and kiss the feet of that person. But for Allah and for the one you think you created, who created you, that is not done. Allah says, no, your sujood, your head touching, should be only for Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati, the famous dua of Ibrahim, mine prayer, every form of worship is only and only for Allah. Not a single being on the face of the earth. Millions of lives will be sacrificed. My mother's life will be sacrificed. My father's life will be sacrificed to attain Allah and to achieve Allah. It will not go in the opposite direction, not at all. Allah takes first priority in our lives. So therefore, the most perfect, the most beautiful way of worship is that which Allah has given to us in Islam. In each and every teaching as to how we interact with each other, how we live with each other, how we live in a community, how we live as neighbors, how we live as husbands and wives, how we live as children and parents, how we work, what we do for our job, for our work, how do we earn our wealth? How do we spend our wealth? Every single thing, Islam has given us the most perfect of all teachings. This is why, wherever Islam exists, whichever corner of the earth in whose life Islam exists, there is bound to come peace, because Islam is peace. It promotes peace. It supports peace. It orders us to live in peace. Subhanallah. In each and every manner, It orders us to live in peace, to live peacefully. This person lives next door to you. He does not follow your religion, but the rights of neighborhood is still compulsory upon you. The rights of neighborhood. It is still compulsory upon you in each and every manner, wherever Islam is. Because Islam is the most perfect teaching, subhanAllah. It is the most perfect deen. It is the most beloved thing. Wherever it is, remember, Islam came to unite and not disunite. Islam came to make and it did not come to break. Islam came to bring peace and love, not to bring hatred and enmity. Therefore, wherever Islam is to be found, and wherever Islam exists, there is bound to come peace and love and unity, not the opposite of these things. But my dear respected brothers and sisters, if Islam is in a place, but yet rather than peace and love, there is enmity, there is violence, there is hatred, there is malice, there is envy, there is jealousy, then the question we have to ask ourselves, whether Islam is really there or something resembling Islam is there. We have to ask that question. That question. Whether Islam is really there or something looking like Islam is there. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Allah does not ever, ever go against His promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Islam to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this Islam to those before us. And when we look at and we study whom Islam came to, who is the people that Islam came to, what were these people like, and what Islam did to them, we will indeed understand how miraculous Islam was. We will understand how powerful Islam was. We will understand how effective the teachings of Islam. Islam came to a people 1400 and so many years ago. The people, subhanAllah, they were deep. They were already sinking in every type of sin, every type of vice, every type of wicked deed, every type of transgressing deed. They were sinking in immorality and indecency, and they went down to the lowest of the low. We know that. All the books of history bear testimony to that. All the books, they bear testimony to this. They were such a people that others did not want to rule. Look at the history. Rome and Persia always fought against each other. Why? To see who will rule all the other countries close by. But the Arabs were very close to them. They will pass over them, straight go along to the Persia and come back, fight and fight with each other. They never interfered with the Arabs. No one wanted to rule them. Why? They said, these people, we can't deal with them at all. We just cannot deal with them. Let them sort out themselves. Let them fight and kill themselves. We are not going to interfere with such people. Every type of sin and evil deed. They lived in the mountains, so their hearts became hard like mountains for the others. They lived wild lives. In fact, historians consider them as barbaric people. No power, the two supreme powers at that time, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire, they wanted nothing to do with these people. Because how far they went in wrongdoings and evil deeds and in wicked deeds, they never wanted to touch them and interfere with them. But it is the same people, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, born from a family from amongst the Arabs, grew up as an orphan, grew up in poverty, grew amongst their very own sight, known to be to them as Al-Amin, that very same individual who came up amongst them, is the same person who did not have any power in his hands except the power of Allah, which was with him, who had nothing to beat them to submit, who had nothing to incite them to submit like wealth, etc. But he, through the effective and powerful teachings of Islam, transformed an entire nation. Transformed an entire nation who now mankind thereafter, after them, to reach out to people, to reach out to every nook and corner of the then world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted them with the care of Islam after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and with this teaching, the community became a pure community. The society became a pure society. The lives of the human beings became pure lives. Every ill was eradicated. Every wrong was expelled. And it became a new society for the people, which was pure from every angle. But two approaches were used, because two things you are dealing with. You are dealing with community life, and you are dealing with the lives of individuals. Complete perfection of a deen, purity of the people, the progress of a people cannot take place until both comes and they work hand in hand. If a law was revealed that removes intoxicants from the society, if a law was revealed to stop zina and fornication and adultery from the society, it does not mean that an individual has purified himself. It doesn't mean that. They can still remain corrupt. They can still propagate it. They can still go to another land and do the same thing. So the first and foremost thing was to purify the hearts of the people. To purify their hearts. And the laws one after the other came to the people, so that first of all they will become pure. Envy, jealousy, hatred, malice will run away from their hearts. That their eyes will not gaze upon that which Allah has made haram. That they will not become involved in indecent and immoral acts. So when the laws of Allah are made to exist, then it is very easy to adapt to it, because the hearts have already been changed. This is what came to a people. Those who were in guidance with receiving, those who were in misguidance, when they received the guidance, they did not go back to misguidance. Those who were in darkness, when they received light, they did not go back to darkness. Those who were in falsehood, when they received the truth, did not go back to falsehood. Islam expelled every wrong thing that existed in the community life, in the individual's life, and society at large, and purified them to such an extent that they were used as a media of purifying other people. Subhanallah. They understood what was loved by Allah and what was hated by Allah. As such, when they knew that Allah made something haram, they removed themselves from it entirely and in totality. It was not that they removed from it physically with their hands, but their hearts aspired for it. It was not like that. The heart, the mind, and the soul, every single thing, these things were removed from it entirely. Every single wrong was removed in order to create the pure state, the pure nation, the pure people, and the pure society. Islam became established as the religion, the perfect, the complete, and the final religion of man, which you and I have been given, coming down from one generation to another generation. When Islam came to that people, and it expelled every single thing, everything that was gone remained as gone. Everything that was in the past remained as in the past. Everything that was wiped out remained as wiped out. And you could not even see the shadow of those things coming back in the Islamic community and in the lives of the individual. Those who used to steal, with Islam they stopped it and never did it again. Those who committed sins with their tongues, with their hands, with their feet, with their eye, fallen into Islam, Islam yahdimu ma kana qablahu, abrogates, finishes outrightly whatever they used to do before. They never went back to the same thing again. They never, their thoughts never went in that direction. They were transformed entirely from the hearts to the body, every single thing. As such, they reach such a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّى. Really, in reality, truly, they are believers in Allah's sight. They are not hypocrites. They are not part-time Muslims. They are not pretenders. They are not munafiqeen. They are not showers. They are not showing off. They are not putting up a front. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّى. From the depths of their hearts, they are pakka and true believers. When did Allah say that? when he realized that the mind and the heart itself was clean and pure. And when the heart and the mind became pure, the eyes became pure, the tongue became pure, the hands became pure, the feet became pure, and this led to the purity of an entire nation. When you clean the society from the visible things, but the hearts are still corrupt, you still have a bigger problem than before. This is why the essence of this transformation totally lied in submission towards Allah, to Allah's law, nothing else. They were ready to submit fully to what Allah said. They will not question it. They will not use strategies and plots to compromise in it. Entirely, they will submit towards it. So therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he prohibited fahsha, immorality, and indecent actions, he did not only prohibit you from going and having an illicit relationship with a person, he prohibited you from looking, supporting all these things that he prohibited. When it was made haram to look at something immoral with the eyes on the outside, the same law was applicable if you will see it via a media in your own homes. The same law, no different law. What is haram there is haram here. It cannot become halal here. So therefore, if looking at the mahasin and looking at certain parts of a woman was haram for you to do externally outside, a person walking in front of you, the same will be haram on the media, on the television, on whatever you call it. There is no two separate law. The same will be haram there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man nazara ila mahasin al-ajnabiyya." Whosoever looks at the parts of a woman that is haram for him to look at, and when it's not a mahram and blood relative, therefore we know that the only parts of a woman which can be visible to others, strangers, it is the face and the hands up to the wrist, that is the allowance. It means any other part that which is visible and it is sighted and seen by another person, it will be haram and impermissible. Therefore, if that is haram outside, it is haram on the television. It is haram on this. It is haram in a book. It is haram wherever you go. He says, whosoever looks at that, then on the day of judgment, hot lead will be poured into his eyes. Na'uzu billah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whosoever shakes the hand of a woman who is a stranger to him, stranger meaning a non-blood relative, he is shaking, he is holding in his hand the charcoal from Jahannam in his hand, which he will actually be made to hold on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, look at the hikmat. Allah revealed in the Quran, ghassul basari. Allah ordered the believers to lower your gaze. Lower your gaze. Why? So that you will not lift it. Allah says, you may not lift it and look here and there, and you look at that which is haram for you. But what is the reason for doing that? Allah says, so that your hearts will become purer. Subhanallah. Allah sent His laws and He made His Rasul work to purify the hearts of people. And the greatest form of taqwa, the greatest form of piety and righteousness is in staying away from haram and doing that which Allah has made halal. The greatest form of taqwa and piety. At the time of Imam Muhammad bin Hassan al-Shaybani, obviously tasawwuf was very, very high. And many people will do many things to elevate themselves spiritually so that they will make the tasbih and the zikr of Allah, and they will make a lot of tilawat, alhamdulillah, and all will be good for the spiritual elevation and for the islah and the transformation of the self, for purifying the hearts and all these things. People made an allegation, Imam Muhammad wrote many books, many books. So someone from among them made an allegation that Imam Muhammad wrote many books, alayhi rahmah, but he never wrote a book on tasawwuf and zuhud. He never wrote a book on, you know, piety and righteousness and trying to reform yourself and Islam. He says, yes, I have written. I have written. He says, well, which book you have written? He says, katabtu kitab al-halali wal-haram. He says, I wrote the book on halal and haram. Therefore, the greatest piety a man can ever achieve is to stay away from all the prohibitions that Allah has made. It should not happen that you spend 5 hours in the morning reciting Quran, but then you go and do a haram thing with your eye and say, well, this will remove that. That is not piety. Piety stems from total submission to the laws of Allah. That is a showing off type of piety. If you have so much taqwa and piety, to have sabr to sit for that duration of time, why can't you have that taqwa and piety to tell your eyes, this is haram, close it, move it. Close it, move it. Haram. If you have so much taqwa and piety, to fast every single month, ayyamul bid, ashura, so many things, how is it you do not have that taqwa and piety to let yourself know envy does not belong to the heart of a believer, malice does not belong to the heart of a believer, hatred does not belong to the heart of a believer, backbiting does not belong to the tongue of a believer? How? Where is the piety? Once a person was performing salat and he pushed up his shoulder and he was really performing salat in a manner that everyone will think that this person is so dedicated, subhanallah, he's walking in the highest heaven. Umar was passing by, he saw him. He struck him with one slap on his shoulder that shook him up. He realized what was happening. Then he pointed to his heart. He says, At-taqwa hahuna, piety is here. Not outside, piety is here. Let it be from there. And if you have piety there, you will not put on this. Go home in a corner where no one can see you behave in this manner, where Allah alone knows what you are doing. Therefore, the point I'm making is that in bringing about this beautiful society and community that is known as the Sahabas, not only did the cleanliness of the community and large take place, but the cleanliness of the heart of every individual had to take place. This is why Allah outlines as one of the important duty of the Rasul, wa yuzakihim, he purifies them. Purifies them. Every nerve and cell started to think in the manner of Islam. Submission was totally for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Islam has reached to us. We have gotten it. We have been given this Islam. And wherever we live on the face of the earth, my dear respected brothers and sisters, wherever we live, whatever time we live in, whosoever we come in confrontation with as human beings in today's life, in whatever season and time we live in, we are bound to find ourselves being confronted with fitnas of all sorts. We are bound to find ourselves coming in confrontation with the things that belong to the days of ignorance, which are known as the things of ayyamul jahiliyyah, ignorance. Everything that was practiced before the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and was made haram, they are known as the actions of ayyamul jahiliyyah, things of the days of ignorance. With Islam, everything went away. Everything was thrown out. Everything was expelled with Islam. Islam was the new order of the day. With Islam, jahiliyyah went. The truth came from Allah. With Islam, the truth arrived and falsehood went. Hidayat came and misguidance went. It was not becoming of any individual that with Islam they took back the actions of jahiliyyah and brought it into Islam. No one did it. And it is unbecoming for any Muslim that having been given this beautiful religion, this perfect religion, this complete religion, after having been given something which Allah loves, that they remove themselves away from it and take into their life what Allah hates very much. It is unbecoming for any believer that what is of jahiliyyah, they bring it into Islam and they mix their lives with Islam and jahiliyyah, things of the ignorant times. Everything that we have rampant on the face of the earth today, these things were there at that time. Zina, fornication and adultery, lewdness, nakedness, nudity, singing, musical instruments, women with their bodies exposed. All these things were there.
When Islam came, it shoved everything aside. It burnt everything away. It destroyed every single thing and told mankind, this is your path. This is the true way. This is the path of purity. This is the path of mankind. This is what you are to do to become a human being, not to live as an animal. Therefore, we find ourselves living at a time when those same actions surround us. We find ourselves living in such a season that the same things which Islam expelled, and the same thing Islam burnt, and the same thing Islam destroyed forever and never returned back in Islam, we find ourselves in the midst of these things. The question is, what will you and I do? Take the actions of Jahiliyyah and bring it back into Islam, throwing out Islam? Or will we remain firm in Islam and say Jahiliyyah belongs to Jahiliyyah, it's going to remain right there, that it will not come back? We will not bring it. We will not support it. We will not propagate it. What are we going to do? The decision we make tells Allah what type of individual we are. The decision we make tells Allah whether we have taqwa and piety or not. The decision we make tells Allah whether our priority is Islam or Jahiliyyah, ignorant times and ignorant things. So my dear respected beloved brothers and sisters, you and I do find ourselves living in different times. Wherever we live on the face of the earth, after one season, there is another season. We know that. We should not think that these are new things that are coming in the world, and we have to find out what Islam says about it. They existed and Islam said already. Islam already said. So whatever has happened, it is in front of our eyes. What is haram, what is halal? Everything is there. It's only for you and I to follow. And it is for us to decide which side we want. What do we want in our life? Will we, because and under the disguise of amusement and entertainment, give up the pure path that Allah has given to us to take darkness and misguidance? Are we going to sell our Jannat for Jahannam? Are we going to sell the beautiful teachings to take these things that are coming from Satan? What are we going to do in this season and in other seasons? And we, our lives in this country and throughout the world, it's like that. After one is another thing. After one is another thing. And because of the portfolio we occupied in a certain place, sometimes we compromise, and sometimes we allow it to go on, and sometimes we take part in it, and sometimes we donate towards it. We must understand that when wrong is wrong, it is disliked by Allah. And to do anything that is connected to it, of supporting, propagation, helping, they are totally haram in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly said in the Quran, do not help in sins and iniquity, help in duties of piety and righteousness. So in these days that are going to come in front of us, let us be mindful. And let us not be deceived by shaitan, who is the chief deceiver, al-gharur, to tell us that, okay, well, I'm not going down there, and I'm not going on this street and that street, but it's on there in the television, so there is no harm. It is totally haram. When something is haram, wherever you find yourself on the face of the earth, it is haram. It is haram. If it was haram 1400 years ago, it is haram now, and it will continue to be haram even after 2 million years away from now, because deen is perfect and complete. Along with that, Allah has made us guardians over others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kullukum ra'in." Each and every one of you, you are a shepherd, you are a guardian. You will be taken to task for those who are under your flock. We have children, we have wives, we have family members upon whom we have that authority. The question is, are we going to compromise when it comes to that? Where is our priority? Are we going to allow the weeping and the crying trickling down the face to make us compromise in the deen of Allah? Alhamdulillah, we have many upright people. Their children are upright. But I ask a question, which direction the majority of Muslims is taking in? That is the question. We have to think about the whole ummah in its entirety. May Allah bless those people with steadfastness who are obedient to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pull those people to obedience who are not upon obedience. It's the whole ummah. And when some azam has to come from Allah, Allah does not take into consideration what the minority is doing. He takes into consideration what the majority is doing. So yes, punishment will come, because it so happens that in a community of 1,100 are good and 900 on the other side. Everyone will face the penalty. On the day of judgment, there will be a separation. So be mindful of the duty of Allah. I remind myself and you, especially in the days of fitna, in the days where there are so many things to distract us. Shaitan makes wrong deeds beautiful for us. Something looks beautiful. It looks dazzling. Oh, this really looks beautiful. That which comes on the front page of these things, that which comes in the front page, it dazzles us. It looks beautiful. Where is it from? Shaitan or Allah? Is it from the Hizb al-Shaitan, the party of Shaitan, or the Hizbullah, the party of Allah? You and I have to look. And this is only a few examples of the many things that we come in confrontation with in our life. Whether it is this season, the other season, we continue to live like that. Because wherever we live, it is the days of fitness. It is the ayam al-fitan. We continue to be surrounded. We have to be steadfast in our iman. And you and I have to tell ourselves that whatever Allah has given to us is the best. There is nothing better than it. Hold on to it. Even though our nafs is fighting it, hold on to it. And pray to Allah for steadfastness. Pray to Allah for firmness in iman. So that inshallah, through this, the barakat of the dua, and through the help of Allah, we are going to remain firm, not only in iman, but in our actions, that we will stay away from those things that Allah has made haram. Sure, salat might not become difficult. So we perform salat, we wait the night, we do everything, but we just are not strong enough to move our eyes from certain things. We are not strong enough to stop our tongues from certain things. May Allah make us strong. But Allah will only make us strong if He sees an effort from our side. When we make an effort, Allah will complete the effort. But if we continue to behave in a dokeda manner, and we continue to think that because of my salah this morning, what I'm doing now, it will work, equalize it, and it will rub off and it will abrogate. It does not happen like that. Because of the fact that Allah does not forgive a sin when it is committed boldly in audacity towards Allah. In fact, that is a sign of the deficiency of iman. You know it is haram, but yet you go into it. Such a person in the hadith is called an ajiz, a foolish person, an idiot person, that he knows it is a punishment, but he still goes about to do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our iman firm and strong. May Allah protect us with His protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children, protect the entire ummah from the fitnas and from those things that surrounds us, the mischief, the trials, the temptations, the wrongs, the evil, the demon-like behavior, the satanic behavior. May Allah protect the ummah in its entirety so that we can come back collectively on the path which Allah has chosen for us. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.